someone warn them from below till the rain come tumbling down.
Welcome to another adventurous edition of In the Garden with Kelly and Char. I'm Kelly, and Char will be with us next time, but I have found two wonderful subjects for our show today, and their names are Julian and Myrna, and I have gone past their house here in Hastings so many times over the last few years, and I always wondered who lived here and who manicured these beautiful gardens that we see out front. And today we're actually on location at their home, and they have graciously allowed me to come up their steps, and we're sitting on the porch, and we're going to be discussing their wonderful gardens. So first of all, welcome to the show, Julian.
Thank you.
And Myrna, thank you so much for being here. I'm sure that you share the duties that are required for this large endeavor.
He does most of the work.
He does, okay.
Myrna's the planner.
She's the planner. Well, let's talk about planning, first of all. How long have you lived here?
We've lived here for 51 years, which is hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. It is hard to believe, but it's also wonderful. You've had such a history of putting together. Now, I'm just going to say, first off, most of the front yard, and I understand there's a sizable backyard as well, but when you're designing the front yard, you know, for that curb appeal, that's really, really important, but you also have to do something that you really like as well. So when you drive into the driveway and say, this is home, it makes you feel good as well. So you start out planting very early in the spring. Tell us about your seed process or how you start out your planting.
Well, I go get the seed starters, but I ordered the seeds from Jung Seed in Wisconsin, and I got wind of these zinnia seeds from a friend of mine down the street on 14th Street, L Terrace. I would walk by his house all the time, and I just loved to see those zinnias. And so I asked him about it, and he said, well, I ordered the seeds from Jung Seed in Wisconsin, and I said, order me a pack. So from that point on, now about 5-6 years, I have, you know, ordered that and started the seeds and then, you know, put them in when it's the right time.
Well, you know, I'm looking at a variety of seeds, and they're the big cushion head. I mean, they're really big ones. Do they attract a lot of pollinators?
Yes, they're good for butterflies. Now, this year I put in almost all one color. Normally it's a variety, and I don't know what the colors are going to be. But this year, just basically, it's the coral ones.
Mm-hmm. The coral looks, they stand out. Now, let's talk about then the planning. Over these 50 years, did you have kind of a vision for the front yard, and has it evolved over the years, Myrna?
It really has. When we came, we had young kids, and all we wanted was playground space, pretty much. We had a great big elm tree. I think I told you, I think it was over there, wasn't it? It's more toward the east. And, of course, that's got bitten by the elm disease. And after that, we, someplace along the line, we planted about a dozen foot long pine trees, just little tiny twigs. And that was along the front here, and that was the only decoration we had. And of course, they kept growing and growing, and finally we spread them all around. The neighbors had some, and we had some, and out in the backyard there were some, so we had a good variety there. And eventually then we decided that, well, we should do some other flowers. And for a long time, Julian grew miniature roses. So he got involved with roses. And out front here, the stuff that you see now was not here. It was just this, and not even this sidewalk. There was a straight sidewalk and a couple of trees, and that was it. So from there, why we started branching out.
Well, the landscaping design, too, it has a much more appealing. You have a curved sidewalk that comes up to your main gate here. And I think the ground cover. Tell us a little bit about the ground cover that is alongside your walkway, Julian.
I don't know about the ground cover. I'll just let her talk about the ground cover.
Okay.
There's evergreen there, and there is... now I can't think of what it is.
The sedum?
The real low sedum. Mm-hmm. And then we found out about perennial geraniums, And so, and those seed themselves, so they just kind of explode where you're not expecting them. But
they really do. And but it gives you some sort of a buffer in between a very nicely manicured lawn, and then you have the pavers that make an arching design as well. And then you have a lovely arbor. And what's on the arbor?
We put the arbor in because we had two gorgeous evergreens and got a good storm that knocked one over right in the neighbor's yard. So that was pretty sad. And we could see that it didn't make much sense to plant another tree that close. So we found an arbor online, but it was kind of comical because we went to several garden places and tried to explain what they wanted. And if we weren't using the right words or if they didn't understand them, it took a while. But of course, you can find anything on Amazon. And so that's what we did. And we planted clematis then on that. And that's been really successful there.
And you have quite a yard of bloomers. Julian, tell me about your roses. Are they the Floribunda type?
No.
They're not.
They're not. They are the University of Minnesota designed roses, and they are called Ole, Sven, Lena, and Ingrid. Now, they don't have the petals of a Floribunda or the hybrid teas and stuff like that. They bloom two or three times a year, and I don't have to bury them. Just cut them back.
All right. Did the Japanese beetles take attack at those this year?
They loved them. But this year was probably better than the last three because of the winter that we had, I think, and the dryness out here. So, yes, I had to take care of them a little bit, but not nearly as bad as the other years. This year we put in a couple of roses over here, too, under the window, and we wanted to get some color in there, but we had trouble getting things to grow there. I think it's just a little bit too dry, you know, with the hot southern exposure like this, but these two seem to be doing quite well, so we're happy about that.
Well, and we are happy to be spending an on-location version of In the Garden with Kelly and Shar here at Myrna and Julian's lovely home here in Hastings. And as I said at the beginning of the show, we have gone past here, and I always wanted to know who designed this beautiful landscape. Now, in part of you have a lovely pine at the very beginning, and then you have a little feature there with more zinnias and some roses there. But you also have an interesting ornamental grass that is fairly low growing. Do you know what that is?
It's a grass that has tufts at the top in the fall. We wanted something different, but that's the one we got when we went down to Sargent's, and we're pleased with how it looks all year long. And then I don't remember the name of it. Do you?
Does it last then into the winter? Can you use it as a winter feature as well for interest?
No, we cut it back.
You do cut it back. Yep. And that's the other part of having a wonderful garden like this, the maintenance. How much time would you say, Julian, that you spend on maintenance per week?
Oh, my Lord. I should start writing it down, I suppose, but I would say 10, 12 hours.
Sure, sure. Well, it certainly shows, and I love this hibiscus. Now, is the hibiscus, it's a very feature plant, and it's got a beautiful color to it. Do you have to do anything for that? Is it a hardy hibiscus?
Yes, but we'll have to take it in the wintertime.
You will take it in.
Downstairs under a grow light sort of thing, and then we have another hibiscus over here amongst the mums, and that's a low-growing one, but we'll take that in, too. Because the hibiscus is not going to go through the winter very well.
No, it doesn't. I have a hard time taking anything in the fall. And to those of you who are listening and have heard of some of our woes with mealybugs and aphids and all the rest of those pests, you know, I wish the very best to everybody who is considering taking plants in to save them for yet another year. I'm just frankly not very good at it. It gives me more to buy from our sponsors in the spring.
We put that hibiscus in amongst the mums that we have there. And the mums I just really love in the fall. They get to be so gorgeous as far as their colors are concerned.
They do. Now, I notice you have some honeysuckle bushes that are trimmed very low and underneath this bay window of yours.
That's but Cotonia aster.
Cotonia aster? Okay, and then you have a hedge of honeysuckle, is that
yep.
correct? Okay, so we've got the aster in the front and then the honeysuckle. Do you do a lot of trimming on that as well, and does it blossom?
Yes, and this year has not been as bad to trim because it's been so dry.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, you have to trim it about every couple of weeks or so.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true of the honeysuckle, but this year it hasn't grown as much.
Absolutely. Well, we've been going through the drought woes and have had done many shows that have reflected some of the failures, frankly, this year that I've had. And as far as pests now, how do you control them?
I go out and just kind of spray them with a spray that's designed like for the Japanese beetles, for example, and also for the aphids. And then we have aphids on the honeysuckle once in a while, too, but we didn't have that problem this year. And so it's been kind of good for us, except for this year especially. The last couple, 3 years have been tough, you know, on the Japanese beetles. We used to put a trap here in the front yard for the beetles. Last year I didn't put the trap in. We didn't have as many beetles. I think I just attracted them.
They do have a pheromone that actually, and we've talked about that on the show too, the people who swear by them and people who say, oh, don't put them out there because it just attracts your neighbor's beetle, so you have even more. So Myrna, now you're part of the planning part of this to design how and where things go, and it's been an evolution over these last 51 years that you've taken up residence here. So what would you say has been your biggest satisfaction in designing this?
Looking for something that you enjoy and getting it in the ground and then watching it grow. And about, I'm thinking maybe 5-10 years ago, our son bought a house in Shakopee, and he said, Mom, you won't believe it. The whole yard, front yard, is landscaped, so there's no grass. And I thought, that's not a bad idea because, you know, it's hard on his back to mow, but he enjoys keeping the lawn perfect. And so our son's front yard had many, many curves and paths and a huge variety of plants. And so when they were going to redo 14th Street, I said, let's do some different things, because we had a big tree, again, that we had to have removed. And so we started putting these curves in and tried to find things that would grow. And it got to the point where we were doing pretty well, but we hit a beautiful small spirea shrub that we could put into one of the curves, and it absolutely just started dying out, and replaced it. So finally we have rocks there.
A lot of people have made that choice. Yep. It's just depending on your growing medium, depending on your sun exposure, depending on actually the drip from your roofs, just about everything, the color of your house. If it reflects an awful lot of heat into those plants, they don't do well. And it can be kind of costly to keep trying again and again to find the perfect fit.
Yeah.
You know, Julian and Myrna, this is a wonderful yard to just kind of take stock of the things that that you like to see growing. And I know, Julian, you are you're a very big fan of these mums. Tell us a little bit more about those.
Well, it got to the point where putting in, you know, annuals all the time with the bad back that I had and stuff like that, I said, you know, we should probably look at something that can be a perennial. And so we kind of centered on these mums, and we went to the Minnesota Mum Growers Association in Faribault, and we ordered 50 mums. And basically we put them in places where we thought that we would appreciate the colors and stuff like that, and they have not disappointed us. These are perennial, so they come back about 80% every year. I'll order maybe 10 a year to replace the ones that went bad. And now, as you can see, in the fall like this, the colors are just gorgeous.
They're wonderful. And tell us a little bit about the soil type that is needed to have successful mums.
Well, basically, I put some compost down every other year to embellish the soil a little bit, and that seems to help a lot. And so the same thing is true with the area where the zinnias are. We try to embellish that soil there a bit, too, just to kind of keep it more fertile.
And you're a big fan, too, of pollinators. The zinnias really bring those butterflies, did you say?
Yes. Here about, a week ago, or I guess last week, I was sitting out in the backyard, which I call my English garden, and just reading a book. And here we had about 12 or 15 monarch butterflies just flying around in our backyard. And I've never seen more than one monarch at a time, and hardly ever in the last couple of years.
They know that you are a great stop on their way to Mexico.
Maybe it'll help.
Maybe it will help. And, you know, also you've got a couple of iron features and some planters and things like that. Although, you know, not too many to have to worry about. Now, I think in this environment, we have to worry about the freeze-thaw cycle with any of our cement planters. So we have to be careful of those. Do you cover yours in the wintertime?
With the mums, for example, I just cut them off and then put the foliage on top of them. And that's all that it takes. And so, like I said, about 80% of them at least come back every year, which then saves my back. So the only annuals that I have to plant would be the zinnias and then Myrna's pots in our front entry here. You know, and that's not so hard because I don't have to bend over so much.
And that is something, and right now as we're looking, I've got a beautiful hummingbird who is going after those coral zinnias and taking some sweet nectar out of that, hopefully oblivious to us, because we certainly don't want to scare the little ruby-throated hummingbird. And she seems like she's enjoying the fruits of your labors.
Good.
Nice to see those. Well, once again, it's been so nice visiting with Julian and Myrna at their Hastings garden. And I literally, I kind of ambushed them because I actually pulled up and I said, I've been passing this garden and I wanted to find out a little bit more about how to put something like this together. If someone has not started a more formalized or stylized garden, there she goes again. Well, you've got plenty to keep her busy here. If somebody is really starting on square one, what would you say would be your best advice?
Do a little research so you can, you know more about what you are facing and maybe how to handle it and so forth. I depended on Myrna because she's the planner and the master gardener, I call her. So she got all that information, and I just did the work.
Well, she's good you have this kind of symbiotic relationship and a teamwork effort going. Well, so Myrna, you know, before we go, I just want to say thank you so much for spreading the beauty. And I'm sure your neighbors appreciate it as well.
I do appreciate, you know, seeing it come through in the spring and trying to figure out what's going to work for the next year. And our neighbors have always just been wonderful. In fact, there used to be four of us with kids all the same age. And in the summer, the four guys would look at what the other guys were doing. And so I called it lawnmower wars, because once one started, then the other one had to do it. I mean, they kept everybody working at it.
Well, and that way you have beautiful yards all over the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we think this yard is just beautiful. And if you have a chance to stop by, I'm sure you'll recognize it from our descriptions. And thank you so much for sharing your lovely work with us. And we will continue to enjoy it every time we drive by. You've been listening to In the Garden with Kelly and Shar here on KDWA every Wednesday from now until the day before Thanksgiving. Thanks very much. And we'll talk to you later. That's our show for today. Be sure to tune in next week to In the Garden with Kelly and Shar. Heard each Wednesday on KDWA Radio and online at kdwa.com.